Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 195 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week out to discuss all the goings on from the Singapore Grand Prix. And it's safe to say that, well, Jamie has become a waiter. Clearly, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you've got the video up, explain to me why you've basically shown up as
well,
a waiter.
I work from home on Mondays now, which is actually really nice, because obviously no commute. And yeah, that I'm a job which involves a lot of Microsoft Teams, so the top half of me has to be well presented. So I put a shirt on, and then we started this podcast. Well, I clicked on Discord a minute after I finished work, so I haven't got changed. So you're just going to have to accept that I'm wearing a black shirt today. So if you would like a drink, then you can let me know.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously, Jamie, very, very dedicated to the podcast there, I should say, as well. A minute after he's finished work, desperate to ring me up to talk about Formula One. It must be said, it was quite an interesting weekend, although it felt like it was probably interesting at all the wrong points.
Yeah, there was a lot going on off the track, and a bit going on the track, to be fair, but there was a lot of random bits of, basically almost controversial, maybe slightly unexpected things going on. And a lot of it was involving driver transfers. So we've only got two seats left, and both of them pretty much look set in stone. They might actually, I reckon, at least one of them will have been announced by the time this goes out, probably both.
It would not surprise me if both. So, I mean, it feels like we do this every week now, Jamie, don't we? We've obviously got to do
start preempting the news we're going to miss.
alternative timelines, then, for this podcast. Obviously, Bottas confirmed or not confirmed. Obviously, staying or not staying with Sauber next year. Maybe, possibly not. Or he is. And Daniel Ricciardo is out of a race seat with VCarb, or isn't out of a race seat yet, or might not be, or is, or isn't, or Liam Lawson is in that car but isn't yet, or maybe. They both seem quite likely, don't they? But I think the bigger surprise is actually probably Bottas.
Yeah, well, I'm slightly surprised Ricciardo's getting dropped mid-season.
Not if the contract speculation is to be believed.
Yeah, maybe not. But the Bottas one, as in, I'm convinced both of these will happen because both drivers have been so above board with it, practically. But yeah, Bottas is going to get renewed at Sauber for 1 year, and that'll probably be that. Why would he want to cut around at the back again for a year and then just be dropped? Because it already seems like they've got targets set for 2026. And you've got Ricciardo out of VCarb for Liam Lawson by the time we get to the next race. Yeah, Bottas is a little bit surprising because I read an article. Well, I think it was Tom Clarkson did the article, and he was saying like he basically met with Bottas after Baku or in the weekend at Baku, and he was just massively more confident. He was really secure in himself because he's obviously signed this contract practically. But by the sounds of it, it's just for 1 year, and he's just here to kind of, you know, finish 22nd in a 20-man championship, probably 23rd by the time Lawson finishes a race. And he's happy to do that again and then leave. I don't know what the end game is here for Bottas.
Well, I don't think Bottas views it as an end game, though, I think is the point.
Maybe not, and I guess you're going to stay on the grid if you can, aren't you? But
well, yeah. I guess for Bottas, it's about, really for him, it's about having the confidence and the belief in himself that he can, at the very least, kind of match up against Hülkenberg, or...
Which he won't.
Well, you say that. I can see him beating Hülkenberg. I'm not saying it's guaranteed or anything, but I can see him doing it.
They are both excellent qualifiers, but I think Hulk's got the edge on race.
Oh, I knew you were going to say this, but who's got 10 Formula 1 Grand Prix victories and who's never
had a podium? Who drove a Mercedes for 5 years? I'm not having that.
And? I will be an interesting one. Obviously, we're seeing still if, but it seems quite likely, isn't it, between Bottas and Hülkenberg. Because obviously, if that Sauber is still terrible and Audi are just piling all the, obviously, the cost gap and resources into 2026, then next year's kind of a bit of a bin-off anyway. But honestly, you say, obviously, about Bottas doing one more year and then it's over. I wouldn't say that's as guaranteed as you're making it out to be. I could see Bottas getting either another year at Audi after that, or if someone, you know, if a Carlos Sainz or anybody else tries to pull the trigger and make you know, make that move to Audi for 2026 as well, take that gamble. Wouldn't surprise me if we kind of see Bottas filling in a seat elsewhere as well. And again, I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but I don't think it's as cut and dry that Bottas is going to be out at the end of next year rather than this year as you want to make out.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he's driving the Audi in 2026, I'll put it that way. But you are right, he might end up somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the other one then, Daniel Ricciardo, I mean, we'll talk about it a bit more as we get through the video today, won't we, or the podcast. But it seems like the writing's on the wall. It seems like it's all over. But of course, this is Red Bull management in 2024. Just like everything else that's happened with Red Bull in 2024, it starts out fairly clear-cut and then pretty much immediately ends up being all over the show and not very well coordinated, and no one really knows what's going on.
Yes. Yeah, and they've got themselves into a bit of a mess because Ricciardo broke his wrist last Zandvoort, wasn't it? Because without that, none of this would probably be happening. And yeah, you basically had contract negotiations from last autumn being Liam Lawson guaranteed a seat for 25, if not the end of 2024. And then they messed around. They were going to give Lawson the drive for Hungary, was it? Or maybe Spa, or maybe after the summer break. And then it didn't happen because Perez wasn't as awful as he was. And then Ricciardo wasn't bad enough to drop. And now he is. It's like, what is going on there? But regardless, it looks like Lawson's in for Austin and Ricciardo is out because Perez was actually telling the team a lot of sense back in May when he was awful and the team were just not listening to him because Verstappen was still winning races. And
that was last year.
No, that was this year as well.
No, it was. They reckon it was Spain last year they went wrong with the car. That's what they reckon the development now with it. Was all
wow.
the way back there.
I thought it was Spain 24. No, wow. I mean, Perez, to be fair, has been given very good feedback then, hasn't he? All that time, just being ignored. And he's, yeah. He's now being listened to because Verstappen's got the same issues.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you say, obviously, about Ricciardo and Lawson and everything like that. There's one rumour that apparently Lawson's got in his contract that he had to do a minimum of 5 races this year. You know, you don't... Because it was Red Bull, wasn't it? Back in... When they first came in 2005.
Mm.
Or was it 2006 with Toro Rosso? Where they had literally set it up as a 3-driver team. I think it was 05,
yeah,
wasn't it, with
was
Red Bull?
Christian Kleen, their DC, is the main driver every race.
Yeah.
And it rotated between Kleen and Dornbos, I want to say.
I think it was Luizzi, but yeah. Something like that,
research.
Wasn't it? That was bizarre in the way they
wanted
Sala to do it.
Well, Sala tried that in 2015 as well, didn't they?
Not very well.
Sadly, only had 2 seats.
Yeah, for sure.
They promised 3 drivers a full-time race seat, which was not the way to go.
Incredible, incredible. But yeah, I mean, think, you know, for Ricciardo, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, I mean, the championship isn't lying. Tsunoda has been the better driver this year. But for Tsunoda to be locked in, I believe it was all the way back in Montreal, wasn't it? Because we kind of all forgot that Tsunoda had locked in for another year. For him to kind of be locked in so early... And then Ricciardo kind of be close enough that you think, oh, they might keep him on. But I think, you know, for Ricciardo, isn't it? The damage has been done. And we all kind of knew he was either going to come back to that V-carb and either end up in a Red Bull or end up desperate for change to buy a can of Red Bull back on the suburbs of Perth or something. It is a bit of a shame because obviously he is a character and everything like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, he just hasn't delivered in the way, I think, you know, Red Bull were kind of hoping he would be an easy fix for that team.
Yeah.
And it just has not worked.
And he was almost a failsafe for Perez, but they've never quite got to the edge of the cliff where they need to drop Perez. Obviously, it's been close a few times, but they've not quite ever had to pull the trigger. And even if they did, Ricciardo hasn't matched well enough against Tsunoda to make it an obvious decision between Tsunoda and Ricciardo. So... Yeah, I think they've been close and they've both had peaks and troughs this season, but Tsunoda's been slightly more consistent and slightly better, but again, not by tons, not by enough to be like, oh, Tsunoda should be promoted then. And they're kind of both being slightly above mediocre.
I think mediocre is a bit unfair for Yuki. I think the weird thing is as well, isn't it? If people kind of do like the head-to-head comparisons and they've been pretty close... But it's kind of felt like, with the exception of that sprint qualifying lap from Ricciardo in Miami, that every time Tsunoda's been better, he's usually been quite a lot better in those clutch scenarios as well, like Singapore qualifying is a good example. Yeah. But it kind of feels like every time Ricciardo's had the better of Yuki, it's often been slightly down to strategy, and often he's been, you know, a place or two ahead of him. Whereas Tsunoda could, you know, finish a few races 5, 6, 7 places ahead of Ricciardo,
yeah,
and kind of completely wipe the floor with him.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's a shame for Ricciardo, but I think, you know,
it's his time, isn't it? It's been coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's carry on then, Jamie. We had three special liveries for this weekend. V-Cub, which of course we mentioned, McLaren, and Mercedes. And I mean, the V-Cub one was a bit grim, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The McLaren one was like every other McLaren special livery they've done in the last couple of years. And the Mercedes one looked okay. I didn't think it looked better than the normal car. I didn't think it looked worse than the normal car.
Yeah, pretty much agree. And did you also see that Red Bull was supposed to have one?
Yes,
but they're too concerned by McLaren. They binned it off because of weight saving.
That was so funny.
So expect a carbon fibre model of the Red Bull to turn up in Austin.
Yep. Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. But yeah, let's get actually in then to the weekend's action. Free practice. I mean, Singapore's quite a brutal track, isn't it? You know, but it's a fairly well set up circuit in the idea that it's quite easy to make mistakes and not just hit a wall. Street circuits have gone soft, and obviously they've added the fourth DRS zone here as well. And Singapore, I must admit, Jamie, I definitely prefer doing the new layout on the F1 game, because the old layout was just a ball ache. But it's kind of lost the magic of what made Singapore great, hasn't it? Between losing the sling and that final few corners.
Yeah, I mean, the sling was stupid. I always preferred not having the sling. But,
no, the sling was great.
But yeah, the final few, the corner where Nelson Piquet binned it, is a shame to lose. I guess we technically still got that one. It's the one after, isn't it?
No, it was Piquet binning Dick Corner. It's definitely the one we've lost.
Yeah, which is, you know, a shame. You also had Kobayashi and Bruno Senna end up there in 2010. That would have been impressive. Yeah, so it was a pretty unforgiving corner, because like one small luck up and you're just done. At that left-hander, I think it would have been turn 21. I want to say maybe
like
I'm wrong.
That, yeah.
Under the grandstand anyway, and that's all gone now. So you can. Every circuit is doing this. They're making more straights and more boring. You know, Barcelona, Melbourne, Singapore. There's a circuit that had all its corners smoothed out.
Australia.
Melbourne. I said that. Whoops.
Sorry, yeah.
But even so, like, they're all just being desanitized. And there's no... We're losing the difficulty.
Well,
and every track's going to end up like Miami, I want to say.
Yeah, I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Because obviously tracks like Spain, we always moaned that it was terrible, wasn't it? And it's tracks like Spain that I think is good the other way. I think the odd thing that it's kind of what we've realised by losing the proper version of Singapore is prior to the most recent layout changes, you think winners in Singapore, Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Nico Rosberg, you know, you kind of had... It was world champions that would win at this place. You know, it was the top drivers. Since then, it's been Sergio Perez and Carlos Sainz, and obviously, spoiler alert, and now Lando Norris. It's kind of felt like it's gone down a level, hasn't it, in people's estimations?
A little bit. It was such an endurance race when it first came in. It was something the drivers had never seen. A night race so much... Like, such a long race as well, because it's very low average speed.
It pretty much would always get towards the two-hour mark.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. But maybe we're just being old men who preferred it back in our day.
No, I think it's a fairly... You know, because on the other hand as well, obviously, I say all that. It's still a much better race now than it was in those years.
Apart from
the chaos. There is a now distinct lack of chaos, which felt like was fairly common back in the day. But again, it goes back to Formula One drivers now are usually too good and don't make enough mistakes, which is a bit of a shame. And the cars are too easy to drive for the most
part. Too easy to drive. You
are. They are. No, they are. But in terms of obviously what they were, you know, 25, 30 years ago, they are way too easy now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a challenge in the way it should be. I mean, let's get into... So like I said, free practice, not really a lot happened apart from a lizard got chased around. Queen Elizabeth living out her best life now in Singapore, because obviously lizard
brilliant.
People. You know, Danica Patrick, if you want to come on the show and talk to us about that, be our guest. Actually, don't, because I'm sure she'd take any gig thrown in her direction at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Into qualifying we go then, Jamie. And shock horror, Lance Stroll for the fifth time in six attempts here in Singapore on a track that does still challenge you somewhat. He was out in Q1.
Yeah, any track that resembles some driver ability and Lance Stroll falls at the first hurdle. I feel a bit bad saying that when he did get pole in Turkey 2020.
Yeah, but that was like, just because it was Canadian weather.
I don't know how that happened still to this day, but yeah, was unsurprising. Other than that, you had, obviously we said both about Ricciardo already, who was also out. So the Sauber's locking out the back row for about the fourth race in a row, it feels like.
I was impressed Zhou got within half a second of Bottas for a change, because that's been one of his
closer in the race again, thank you.
Yeah, but that was only, who cares? No, nothing's happened. I don't think we ever saw them on TV.
Yeah, Zhou just drove a better race. And then you had Gasly and the Alpine. And Alpine have fallen off a cliff since the summer break. They were actually respectable, almost, for the four or five races before the summer break.
Williams. Yeah.
And now they're absolutely awful again. But yeah, that was that.
They are definitely going to lose to Williams at the end of the year, which I think is brilliant. Yeah, Q2 then, as you mentioned. I mean, it looked like we could be in for quite a good battle, didn't it? Because McLaren looked pretty quick. Ferrari looked there. Max, as well as Red Bull, seemingly got back into the swing of things as well. But it was Colapinto Pinto that I think drew the most interest, didn't he, Jamie? Because he was only 7 thousandths off Albon.
Yeah, yeah. And Albon's been stat padding against Logan Sargeant for 2.5 years. No, 1.5 years, sorry. And it was Latifi before that, wasn't it?
It was, for a year.
He hasn't had a serious teammate since he got kicked out of Red Bull. It's astonishing how well Colapinto's doing, considering he was good in F2, but he wasn't, like, stealing the show.
And yeah, but F2 is impossible this year.
Yeah, yeah. F2 is, as we've spoken many times, very hard to read. And Colapinto is doing very well, to be fair to him. And it's a shame that we're going to end up in a Liam Lawson situation where he does well, but there's nowhere for him to go. So he's back on the sidelines next year.
How many F2 drivers could be doing that this year?
Yeah, probably loads, to be honest.
Loads of them, I reckon. I think we need a system shake-up in Formula 1. You know, even if it's something as ridiculous as if you've got a F2 driver. I think it was 2006, where I think if you were in the bottom five teams in 2005, you were allowed to bring a third car for free practice and things like that.
Really? Yeah. 2005 and 6 was strange.
They were strange years.
For rule changes.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain it was 2006. If you've been in the bottom five in the constructors in 2005, you got to bring three cars to practice, which is insane. It's something like
Minardi
that we
had
need to
five
do.
Five drivers in 2006.
I believe that.
Not Minardi, MF1. What were they?
Midland,
yes.
Yeah, they had a fun season, as their one year is Midland. That's gone down a very weird rabbit hole.
It has.
But yeah, we had both Williams out in Q2, didn't we? Perez, shock horror, back to normal. Kevin Magnussen and Esteban Ocon then out in Q2. So it did leave us with a couple of decent surprises, didn't it? Hülkenberg and Yuki Tsunoda into Q3. When all the pressure's on Ricciardo, he's out in Q1. And Tsunoda's battling ish for pole.
Well, battling for somewhat, maybe P6, but he lost. Shout out to Nico Hülkenberg, as usual, doing the business in qualifying.
That Haas is rapid over one lap.
Is it just Hülkenberg, or is it the Haas?
It's the Haas, I'm telling you.
Where's Magnussen? Magnussen put half a second.
Yeah, but Magnussen's not a qualifier.
Magnussen's
not a qualifier, and he's got as many poles as Hülkenberg.
And you had, obviously, you said Red Bull were doing well and getting back to form. I just think it was Verstappen having an underrated weekend, to be honest.
It was a combination as well, but I think, you know, they were definitely better than they have been in recent race. The fact they looked comfortably better than Mercedes.
Yeah, slightly.
Again.
Ever so slightly, although Perez didn't do that well. Yeah, so Q3 came around and Hülkenberg put it P2. Behind Oscar Piastri, and before anyone could get a time
two
in,
people had done laps.
Carlos Sainz managed to find a wall, 2023 race winner, here at Singapore, which is obviously where I am. He was in a wall and didn't get a chance to set a lap, and yeah, that was curtains for his session, and led to us getting a one-shot quali, which always makes Q3 or any qualifying session a lot more fun, to be honest, if you just give them one lap. really cuts the good from the great and the men from the boys, as they say. So yeah, we had that one lap. It did mean there was about 2 or 3 minutes of nothing happening when the race, when the qualifying session restarted, but what we got at the end was worth the wait.
It was, it was. And can we take a second to appreciate how bad a bottle that was by Carlos Sainz trying to start his lap?
Yeah, it wasn't even on his lap, was he?
Completely crosses over himself. I think he clobbered the inside curb, and that was what unsettled the rear of the car. But just hilarious driving by Carlos there, and clearly his dad's rally driver experience coming through there when he hit a bit of a tank slapper. Again, it's one of those rare ones, isn't it, as well, where you kind of think, yeah, 5-10 years ago, you wouldn't really care about something like that. And now you think, that's probably cost Ferrari a lot of money. That might be an upgrade they can't bring between now and the end of the year. Especially when, you know, going into this weekend, it wasn't spoke about a lot, but they could still have an outside shot of the constructors. Probably not anymore, but they probably will still beat Red Bull. They could have been on for a world title for the first time since 2008.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not a million miles away from McLaren even.
But that gap's just...
Especially if they had a good Singapore, then, which they could have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of Ferrari, what happened next time with the one-shot quali?
Ah, Leclerc, my pole prediction. To be fair, I was going to predict Lando Norris, but you took that away from me. Leclerc managed to get his lap invalidated. So it was Ferrari at the back in Q3. Lando Norris, though, stormed to pole position ahead of Max Verstappen. It looked throughout most of the session, didn't it, that McLaren and Lando just had a couple of extra tenths in the bag. Oscar's final run, he was the only, I think he was the only one alongside Hülkenberg to get a lap in before the red flag. He just seemed to be a little bit all over the show this weekend. Again, another circuit where it's very kind of, I think, rear limited, isn't it, Singapore? So yeah, Oscar tend to struggle a bit more. Mercedes as well, kind of out of nowhere, didn't they? Because they kind of seemed like they were a bit far away from the big three teams. But again, just having two very experienced drivers, they got the job done. Locked out the second row, but it was kind of a, how quickly is that going to fall apart as you head into the Grand Prix?
And like the Ferraris were on the fifth row between them, so who will they have to beat with Oscar, who had a pretty shocking lap?
Yeah, exactly.
Hülkenberg chilling in sixth, the GOAT, ahead of Alonso, Leclerc, Alonso, Tsunoda, Leclerc, and Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, so it did leave us with a potentially interesting grid, didn't it, for the Grand Prix. You had a few drivers that we're hopefully going to be able to move around. And, of course, as soon as Sunday comes around, Jamie, because obviously Mercedes, get your tinfoil hats on. Obviously, they're trying to make sure that Lewis gets screwed over between now and the end of the year. And they put him on softs for the start of the Grand Prix. For some reason.
Yeah, the softs that barely lasted two laps in practice.
So stupid.
It was a bit dumb. And then also, like, who was Lewis qualified third, didn't he? So what are they thinking? We can overtake Verstappen?
That was the plan. And pray for an early safety car when you think you're not going to be able to hold up Verstappen anyway. And we haven't, Bert Mailand has done nothing for the last 4 months. What are you expecting to happen?
Yeah. And obviously he didn't jump Verstappen at the start. Someone who did jump very briefly was Nico Hülkenberg up into fifth for a whole four corners. And then that was done ahead of Piastri. And yeah, I see on the notes you've put about Colapinto. We probably disagree on this. That was like an AI set to easy move in a bad way, but also kind of a good way.
What do you mean by Colapinto?
Like, Colapinto into turn one just sent it on about 16 cars.
Yeah.
And then only got away with it because everyone else bailed out.
No.
I don't know. I can see why Sainz was crying a little bit, but it was he got it slowed down.
He got it slowed down onto an apex and no one was anywhere near him. Leclerc had fired it. People seem to think this was Leclerc avoiding Colapinto. If you watch Leclerc's onboard, he actually fires it in too far by himself, which admittedly...
Fair. I haven't seen that onboard.
Colapinto was quite lucky that Leclerc did that. Otherwise, he probably would have just ran into the side of him. But, you know, everyone's saying, he forced Leclerc out.
He didn't force anyone off.
No, exactly. Alonso just did what Alonso does every time there's anywhere on the escape road at turn one. It just immediately cuts it.
I swear Alonso hasn't done turn one at Singapore in about 15 years.
He never has, I bet.
Yeah.
He's never done it legit. And it's like when we went to Russia all those years. Because, again, I'm going to go on my Alonso rant. Again, because it's Alonso, people go, it's 10,000 IQ. He's incredible. If it had been anyone else, they'd just blame a lack of talent. But Alonso gets away with it for some reason because he's, and I quote, the wily old fox. And it annoys me.
He's old as well.
Yeah, he's just old. But no, I think the Colapinto, Pinto, hats off to him. And I'm not just saying this because I've got nearly 20,000 likes on Twitter because of it. but it was an incredible move. I loved it. It was brilliant.
It was.
He's got nothing to lose.
Exactly. I do rate it, but if I was one of his opponents, I would be annoyed.
And what you say about the AI at like 20% difficulty, he's going up against Formula One drivers. If someone wanted to close that door on him, they could have.
Yeah. But yeah, they didn't. And if they would have done, he would have got a penalty for it.
No, but he wouldn't have done it if someone had closed the
door. He got away with it.
Fortune favours the brave, Jamie. That's all I'm going to say. If Verstappen did that move, you'd throw him a parade.
Verstappen would have qualified 12th.
He did last year, didn't he?
11th, thank you. yeah, incredible. There we go.
I mean, he basically just, he calmed down very quickly though, didn't it? Like we said, he was kind of all exciting at the wrong points. Singapore, it was a bit of a snooze fest, wasn't it? I mean, you can tell it was a bit of a snooze quite a while. Fest. Because even in F1's official highlights, it basically showed the start and then instantly Albon breaking down on lap 17 and then Lando binning it almost on lap 30. And that was half the Grand Prix got instantly.
How they got an 8-minute highlight package out of that. Impressive. Impressive editing.
It was. But yeah, Albon, say, early on, I think it was Sainz, wasn't it? Tried to go for a really early box. And that kind of worked out quite well. So Albon covered him off, but then pretty much immediately had to retire the car for a power unit issue. But it was pretty much, obviously, everyone early on. Singapore, I didn't know this, Jamie, and I was quite surprised, is cost you the most time of any pit lane in Formula 1.
It's the longest. It's really slow and really long, isn't it?
It's not that long, though. I was adamant Silverstone would be worse.
No, because Silverstone, you cut the last sector.
Yeah, I guess now you do.
Like,
don't you
save
again.
Yourself 10 seconds by not doing Vale and Abbey.
Yeah, Abbey. I'm used to the F1 games as well, where obviously for years they had to bring the pit lane speed limit line way back as well. Obviously to stop everyone doing it on the last lap of a Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah. You fly into the pits and win the race at Silverstone. That was jokes. Yeah, but it is a slow pits lane, and I think the first half of the race was basically Hülkenberg just holding everyone up, and he had Alonso directly behind him, and Alonso in the Aston Martin can't overtake. And then you had a few fast cars in that train just unable to do anything, because it's obviously a DRS train. And you had Sainz go for the really early stop. Leclerc went really long, so Ferrari actually split their strategy well. And then you had Perez kind of caught in the middle, so Sainz undercut Hülkenberg and that whole train. Leclerc overcut that whole train, and Perez just stayed in the whole train by pitting at the same time as the wheel. So that was a bit of a shame for him, but
the most Sergio Ferrari's thing in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Ferrari's escaped, but no one else really did.
No, exactly. And I mean, we did almost have moment of the year, didn't we, on lap 29, when Lando Norris, with a 20-second lead at the front of the field, almost binned it by himself under
so
no
close.
Pressure whatsoever.
It would have been hilarious just to see the meltdown of people on Twitter. That would have decided the championship. I'd have if Norris was out and Verstappen wins the race.
Oh yeah, it's over. It's gone. It's over. Well, I was saying this as well to a few people pre-weekend or after qualifying even. Where I was like, if Max can get ahead of Lando on lap one, even if he doesn't beat him, I was like, that's it. Championship is done. Lando Norris had to lead that one at the start. And credit to him, Jamie, for the first time ever, he did lead the opening lap of a Grand Prix.
He did. And, it kind of calmed down. Well, Lando's pace was insane. And after almost binning it, he kind of took a chill pill and drove
until
around
lap 45.
Normally.
And then he almost binned it again.
And then he almost did it again. it was just an odd race. There wasn't really much going on.
Well, I think Lando was a little bit saved. Because I think Ferrari... I don't think they would have beaten him, but I think they would have given him more work to do had they not messed up qualifying. And again, it was another bizarre one, wasn't it? Where Ferrari, for some reason, because we've come so used to it, we should be given more stick this year for that horrible four-race spell and qualifying efforts like they did on Saturday. They genuinely should be in the title fight this year. They should be in that, with Leclerc especially. But the fact that they're not, and no one's riding them hard enough. Like, I've said so many times how good a season Leclerc's had. And also, shout outs to him. Brilliant recovery at the end of the Grand Prix as well to get a decent result away. But ultimately, you know, he should have been probably P2 in that Grand Prix, I think.
Yeah. Well, I also think Verstappen has as early as lap 3 or 4 was probably like, right.
Oh, yeah. It was just, you know, big picture championship. I can't beat him here. I'm just going to try and walk away with P2.
A bit like Zandvoort, really.
Can we also say as well, what on earth were McLaren doing, making Oscar stay out so long? What was the point
I don't
in
know.
That?
Because they gave up, I guess they gave up track position to the Mercedes by not pitting at the same time as them.
But
and then you want a big enough tyre offset?
Exactly, but then he could have, if he pit the same time as Max, he would have been like, what, 15 seconds behind him? At least then you could have really tried to go for him and have enough laps towards the end of the race.
It's almost like they wrote off the idea of finishing second with Piastri. It's
pretty much,
like,
yeah.
Well, they
were trying
that we
to bank
have
on a safety
offset.
Car.
Yeah.
It was really odd, really odd by them.
Maybe they calculated that they couldn't beat him on normal, like in a normal race. They might as well go hang for a safety car, see if it happens. If it doesn't, they'll still beat the Mercedes, which he did. He made a couple of good moves.
He did.
Russell.
But again, it was one of those ones, wasn't it, where Mercedes were never really in the fight this weekend, were they?
No.
They were lucky to still beat Sainz.
And as soon as you had Piastri like near them after he pitted, it's like, right, well, it was just a matter of time here. And they were good overtakes, but they were coming. And you knew they were going to come.
Exactly. I mean, the only other real thing that happened, wasn't it, towards the end of the afternoon, was Kevin Magnussen slapping the wall by himself. And he was a little bit unlucky with that one. But yeah, got a puncture. And then a couple of laps later, it was like, we can't really go fastest lap. We're just going to bail out. Speaking of which, Jamie, it's a conspiracy, isn't it? Red Bull, once again, are using their junior team to try and stop Lando Norris winning the world title.
It actually wouldn't. I wouldn't put it past them, but it's
Nor
not
would
their
I.
fault. They're playing
that's
to the
how
rules
the rules
that they've been given.
I must have. I've said this as well. I don't understand why they haven't implemented the same rule as they have in F2 and F3. As it's just the fastest driver inside the top 10 gets the point.
Yeah, exactly. And whoever has the fastest lap in the top 10 gets the point. That makes perfect sense because
The fact that a bonus
otherwise,
point can sometimes be dished out still
was it,
seems odd.
Was it Silverstone 21? I want to say. No, 2020. So, no, 2021. Yeah, when Perez was last or fighting for like 10th and they just pit him for softs because he either gets a point by finishing 10th or he takes
or
a point
takes
off Hamilton.
Or takes a point out of Mercedes,
So they went for that one because it did Red Bull more of a favour overall. It's just stuff like that. It feels slightly distasteful and kind of defeats what the point rule was brought in for.
I mean, it adds an interesting element of strategy, didn't it, a few times in 2021. But it's kind of felt since then, it's often been more of a headache than it's ever...
Yeah, or more of like, you've got 20 seconds behind you, let's just pit and take it.
I don't think as well, come the end of a season, it's ever actually decided anything, has it still?
Probably
I don't think
not.
I'm trying to think, the only example I could think of that maybe it could have made a difference would have been when Aston Martin and Alfa Romeo tied at the end of 2022. But I don't think even then...
Neither of them would have got a fastest lap, would they?
But, you know, that Sauber was rapid at the start of the year. Or, you know, Aston Martin might have snookered away one somewhere or something. I don't
guess. But then trying to finish in the top 10 with making a pit stop on the last lap would have been quite hard for those two.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult. But it is one to think about, isn't it? I mean, it was, obviously, Lando took the win, didn't he, ahead of Max. Oscar P3, so another McLaren double podium, further extend their title lead. Russell beats Leclerc. Actually, that was quite a good fight towards the end. Leclerc just couldn't get past him. With Lewis ahead of Carlos, Alonso, Hülkenberg, and Perez running out of top 10. So I believe it was Tsunoda and Perez that swapped. Otherwise, it was the same 9 cars inside the top 10 at the end of the GP as it was qualifying. It was a pretty boring Grand Prix, wasn't it? Which has been a bit of a shame because, you know, we've had a pretty good run of races recently.
But you can't win them all.
No, exactly. I mean, do we want to do race rating quickly? Because I'm just looking down them all. I think it's pretty easy. I'm going to give it a 5.5. Because it was basically Zandvoort again. It was basically Zandvoort again, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I'll give it a 5.5 too.
Fair enough. So it does rank right towards the bottom of our ratings this year, doesn't it? Only ahead of Bahrain and Monaco. And, you know, like we said, tied with Zandvoort.
Yeah. You are going to do your quiz real quick because, as we were talking about fastest lap, we didn't actually mention that Daniel Ricciardo took it on the last lap.
We were about to get onto that, but okay.
We were. Well, he did, and it took a point off Lando Norris for his last race, probably, in Formula 1, Daniel Ricciardo. Maybe not. yeah, obviously had somewhat of a career. Decent. Well, very good, actually. To be fair. Not in the last few years, but, you know.
The first half was great.
Yeah, yeah. So, you're going to name me any driver to have stood on the podium in a race that Daniel Ricciardo has won in his Formula One career. You have a minute.
How long have I got?
Go.
Stroll.
Yes, that was the one I thought you'd miss.
Verstappen. yep. Raikkonen, Hamilton, Vettel, Leclerc, Bottas, Rosberg.
Yep, you're doing well. You got two left and you got 44 seconds.
Okay. Perez?
No.
No. I've raced that Ricciardo's won. Oh, Lando Norris, of course.
Yes.
Who else was on the podium there? That was Bottas, wasn't it? No, was it Bottas?
You got 30 seconds and one left.
Trying to think. Said Raikkonen, said Verstappen, said Vettel, said Hamilton, said Bottas, said Rosberg. Russell?
Nope.
No. I've said Leclerc, haven't I?
Yep.
It was Canada 2014, I'm trying to think, wasn't it? Rosberg got a podium. That was Vettel? Massa?
It
Bottas?
Was Vettel.
No.
None of them, no. 5 seconds.
Can't have been Hülkenberg. It is that Grand Prix, isn't it, that I'm forgetting?
It's not that Grand Prix.
Is it?
That Grand Prix was Rosberg and Vettel. You said both of them.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It was that year, though.
Hungary, Alonso, damn it.
There you go.
Should have got that.
Only Fernando Alonso.
I remembered Lance Stroll, but not Fernando Alonso.
You did. Stroll, the first answer was unexpected.
It was because that was the one I knew I'd forget. So I was like, right, just get Baku locked in.
7 out of 8, was that? One less than how many there were.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm happy with that. I always forget just one in most of these quizzes, don't I?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But fair play, Daniel Ricciardo. And we'll see you in Formula E.
No, we'll go NASCAR or something.
Probably.
I don't know with Ricciardo anymore. It wouldn't surprise me if he does nothing at all.
Or like V8 supercars or something.
He could go back to Australia. I mean, the V8 supercars is no longer really proper V8 or Australian supercars, which is a shame.
No,
But that's a rant for another day. Not with Jamie, probably, because you got no idea.
I have no idea. I know that you drove one once. Or you were a passenger in one.
I was a passenger in one, yeah. It was brilliant fun. Driver of the day, Jamie. Who are we going to give that to?
Yeah, this is a difficult
one. It's really odd. I don't really think anyone deserves it.
Yeah.
I mean, Hülkenberg, probably?
I'll mention Hülkenberg. Same as he didn't win the midfield battle. Well, if you count Aston Martin as midfielders, then he didn't win it.
I think people that are trying to sell Aston Martin is in that midfield fight is a bit unfair. I think that car is better.
Ego.
Exactly. That Aston Martin is still comfortably better than that Haas in race pace.
Probably. I would agree. I don't know who I want to give it to.
There's no real standout, is there? And I think that's why I want to give it to Hülkenberg, because he did a brilliant effort in qualifying.
You can give it to Hülkenberg. I'm going to give it to Alonso just to annoy you.
Oh, don't really annoy me at all. I'm just staggered you're not also going with Hülkenberg.
Well, I gave Hülkenberg one at Austria, which probably
was
undeserved.
Yeah, you did. And you tried to give Alonso one here last week, didn't you?
I did. I did. So Alonso's efforts across Baku and Singapore, he can have a consolation driver of the day.
He's finished behind every car you would expect and beaten every car you would expect, and apparently that's good enough for Jamie to want driver of the day.
Is that not the same for Hülkenberg? Who should he have lost to? I guess Perez.
Yeah, he beat Perez, didn't he?
Alonso beat Perez.
He did.
I can't believe you're advocating for Hülkenberg. I'm not. That's crazy.
I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? Predictions, Jamie. I think we've ended up locked out even this week.
We have, looking at it, because I got
what are the scores?
A cheeky little... Yes, let's do things in order. What are the scores? 62 to you, 57 to me. So 5 points. It's not impossible to overcome that.
No, especially when you keep getting predictions. Yeah.
I put Lando Norris on pole, plus two.
Two points.
I said...
Which
so
I
what
wanted
I should have
do,
done,
but I didn't.
What I should have done is be normal. I chose to do was manifest a Norris DNF.
to be fair, it almost happened.
I know. I put Verstappen, Piastri, Hamilton.
I mean, to be fair, had Norris been there and Mercedes not screwed Hamilton's strategy, you would have been a wizard.
I know, that would have been so good. But sadly, only plus two for the race because Verstappen and Piastri on the podium in the wrong order. So plus four overall. And you put Charles Leclerc on pole.
Yeah.
You qualified behind...
I did want to put Norris on pole, but you did that, so I didn't. Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Lando Norris to win the race, bang on.
2 points.
Charles Leclerc, P2, probably...
Nilpoir.
would have happened if he didn't mess up qualifying.
Should have happened, yeah.
Oscar Piastri P3. So two again, you've scabbed a P3 there.
We've had an opposite result this week. Yeah. I've had the terrible scammy results.
But and I was a couple of millimetres off being bang on.
Exactly. But Jamie, couple of millimetres and Bono.
And a Mercedes strategy, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So the gap's still 5 then as we head into the final few rounds of the year. What else have we got to discuss, Jamie? I mean, we all think it's Ricciardo's last race, don't we? He got fastest lap. He did the longest in lap of anybody. He then was in the paddock until nearly 2 in the morning before he finally left. It's over, isn't it?
Trying to save her.
It's a bit of a shame. I mean, in a weird
way. About the slowest in lap out of anybody. That's just Ricciardo's qualifying sessions at this
point.
Probably.
So, yeah. Well, you say that. You're a Zhou Guanyu fan.
He has 20th in a 22-man championship, thank you. So, yes, it's done for Ricciardo. I've been a little bit sad for him, but not that sad. You know,
I would like to see him come back pundit-wise.
I'd like to see him do something.
I think he'd be great doing the driver interviews or something like that.
But he'd just be so unserious with it. You know when he was joking about pubes in press conferences and stuff? He'd just become that version of Ricciardo again, which I don't really like.
He'd be alright. But what I mean is like once or twice a year. Just have him back at like Australia and Austin.
Like Jensen Button does.
Yeah.
But Button's actually good. So
Button is a great commentator, to be fair. Button's just an awesome man,
great
isn't
guy.
He?
Yeah,
Jensen Button, man. Come on the podcast. We'd love it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And David Coulthard. I'd love to have DC on the podcast.
You don't remember David Coulthard?
Never.
Ever.
No, but for the purpose, you could do me a quiz on David Coulthard for that episode.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. Have we really got? We've kind of rattled through everything, haven't we? We've done a pretty good job, I think, this week. Obviously, we've got a 4-week break now, so Jamie and I are going to mix it up. We don't know when podcasts are going to go live or what we're going to do. But obviously, we'll do some.
We've got 3
ones.
Break weeks, isn't it? And then, so we'll do those. We'll definitely do 3 podcasts.
And then I believe it's 3 triple headers, isn't it?
Oof.
Two triple headers.
No,
isn't
2
it?
Triple headers.
With a 2-week break in the middle.
Left, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to win the championship, real quick?
You know what? Because you'll say Max, I'm going to say Lando.
Yeah, I'm saying Max. There you go.
Oh man, it's gonna. The thing is, like I've said before, I've said this for months, haven't I, Jamie? I reckon it will go down to Abu Dhabi, but it'll be one of those horrible ones where Verstappen's got like a 15-point lead, so it'll just follow Lando home or something. And
well,
just
that happened in 2010. And it didn't quite work out that way, didn't it?
No, so, but exactly. Yeah, it could. Yeah, but.
I really think we'll get a McLaren mechanical DNF, and that'll just put
really?
The coffin.
Really?
They've
but
not
none
had
of the,
season,
unless
have
it's
they?
Yeah, but Renault don't unless it's a Renault power unit, no one breaks down anymore, do they?
Verstappen had one in Melbourne.
That wasn't mechanical though, that was they built the car wrong.
Well, that's mechanical. As in a reliability DNF is what I mean.
Yeah, but that was building the car wrong come Sunday, wasn't it?
Human error can come in.
No, he can, exactly.
Well,
you reckon
team.
You reckon McLaren?
I reckon
Norris will
have a mess up with like the car will break down at some point.
I mean, basically, you just need Oscar Piastri, doesn't he? Really, they need to bag a couple of 1-2s. That's what it's riding on.
The problem is, every race that Verstappen is, or the Red Bull, sorry, is awful. Norris has just messed it up as well. So the gap just hasn't gone up by enough. I don't think.
Well, the gap is exactly the same as it was 11 races ago in Miami,
which is crazy.
Which is incredible. But then you
the
say
McLaren's
that and
been
you
faster
think,
majority of that time.
But Red Bull did have a stronger car some of the races since then as well.
Some of them, but
it's the odd ones as well that we forget. Like Belgium, for example. It was just because Red Bull got too confident with, again, how they dominated qualifying, so it took grid penalties.
Took a power unit, yeah.
Yeah, and then couldn't make their way back through. But yeah, rant, little mini rant over, I think. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you aren't already, please do make sure you get yourself subbed. We didn't mention that at the start. I'm still aiming for 1K by the end of the year, but we'll wait and see as to how we get on. But yeah, Jamie and I will return at some point next week. I think we're going to react to our preseason predictions because we forgot to do that over the summer.